Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations in art, culture and ideas. Today we're at the Gaurav Budaya Bookstore and my guest is Suganthi Subramaniam, the author of The Story of Bentong Kali, a name that many of us, at least in my generation, are familiar with. Suganthi's book in English will be published in Tamil at some later date, and we're going to be talking to her about why she decided to write this book. Suganthi, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Let's begin with you first, you know, and your motivations to write a book, because a lot of us know about Bentong Kali, but we don't necessarily take the trouble then to kind of pursue these almost mythical, personalities in Malaysian life to the extent of writing a book. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your motivations.
Thank you for having me, Sharad. okay, I started off with the idea to do this book is because of my master's. So one of my requirements for my master's studies is that we have to come up with a project. It can be a book or it can be a film or a campaign. I don't know how to do movies, so I thought maybe I can just write. So that's why I decided to choose to write a book.
And what course were you doing?
I was doing media studies at University of Malaya.
Okay.
So it was a one-year course coursework, and yeah, that was our project.
Yeah, and so all the people that you could have written about, and I know you explained in the introduction, the fact that you knew of Bentong Kali, and then he had this kind of almost mythical status in Indian society. And in fact, I think it goes beyond that, Bentong Kali. Why him? Why choose this character of all the possible books and personalities write about?
Well, I've always been interested in this personality because most Indian families are aware. I mean, not just Indian families, but a lot of Malaysians know about this notorious gangster, Bentong Kali, in the 90s. But there's so many colourful stories about this guy. You know, they say that you can't touch him, he disappears, and then you can't shoot at him. And if a police tries to shoot, I mean, a lot of things, a lot of colourful stories about him. So that was something that I wanted to find out. I wanted to find out more in detail. So I decided to talk to his family members. I talked to his former gang members. I spoke to the police. I spoke to the journalists so that I can get a better understanding of who this guy really is. So that was the... because of his name, everybody knows who this guy is. And I wanted to know more.
Right,
so was just a very simple thing here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so many others I guess one thinks of, in terms of gangsters and the kind of underworld characters, both that chin, I guess, emerges. And today, of course, you know, crime is committed and the most interesting characters are actually in white collar crime. So you think of, you know, the one in MDB's saga, there you have a wonderful case of criminality, but of course, played out at a very different realm. So this was a very local story, and the fact that he's named after a place in Malaysia,
yes,
Bentong.
Also
gives a kind of colour. In researching this, and even before embarking on it, the fact that he had already passed away, that he was not available to be interviewed, did you think of that as a major obstacle to getting at the truth or the reality of his life and motivations?
Well, yes, of course. That really was something I felt that, you know, it would be better to have the person himself telling the story. But then it was too late. He was shot in 1983. What was the next best thing to do, which is to research and talk to those who were close to him. The thing that was most interesting to me at the time was the Malay Mail article on the 16 murders committed by Bentong Kali. Now, I wanted to know, did he really do the 16? So that was the first idea. And then from there, I went to his circle and I asked them to explain to me what happened in all these 16 cases, what actually took place. And so from the research, I kind of understood that not all 16 was committed by this guy. There was someone else at play. So I thought that would give a different perspective to the whole Bentong Kali story.
Yeah, we can dwell a little bit on data because, as you kind of pointed out, he did have run-ins with the law starting from a very young age. But I wonder how much of a police archives and data or even court transcripts are available for somebody doing research of this sort. Were you able to find material like that?
Court? Yes, I did have a lawyer who helped me. A lot of newspaper articles, at that time I think we started online from 1991. So a lot of articles were available from 1991 onwards. But the previous ones, mostly in Tamil press, were not online. So I had to go to the National Archive to retrieve the information. That was kind of difficult, accessing the information. So, and also because it was not available in other languages. So when you see that, when you look at the article in Tamil press, it's like one whole page. When you see that the same story in an English medium is only one small column. So a lot of things are lost there. So and I don't really understand Tamil so much. So it took me some time to understand, to translate and all that. So I think that was one of the challenges.
Right. I wonder though, you know, were you modeling your work on books that you had read before, approaches that you had seen, you know, in the literature, looking at how to present criminals? Because there are all kinds of styles, right? You can fictionalize a criminal life that gives you a little more leeway, or you can try and do it in a much more kind of historically accurate fashion using, you know, court transcripts and stuff, media reports in this case. Did you have a model for yourself?
Yes, I did. I like this book called Dongri to Dubai. This was written by a journalist in India, from India. This book is about the rise of Dawood Ibrahim and also other criminals during that time, from the 1950s until the time of Dawood Ibrahim. I think he did a brilliant job. And I actually, that was like my Bible.
Criminal characters have an attractive force, partly because they're like the anti-hero, basically, aren't they, right? They're larger than life. One thinks of Sacred Games, that traces the life of a Mumbai gangster, an underworld character. So you had a model for yourself,
yes.
In terms of how to tell the story. What were the other challenges that you found? You do mention in the book that people were reluctant to speak to you, former gang members who perhaps wanted to remain anonymous, or they wanted that part of their lives erased or invisible. They had started new lives. Some of their families weren't, in fact, aware
that they had this past.
How did you deal with that?
Okay, gaining their trust was one thing that I find a bit of an issue. Like you said, mentioned, some of their family members do not even know that their father was in prison or the father was associated. So that part, you know, I have to convince them a few times. I know I had to go to the house a few times, get them to speak to me in private, you know, explain to them that, hey, I'm just a student. I'm not here to find fault. I'm not trying to pick on any one of the former gang members, and just tell me the story so that I can explain to the world who this person really is. I even went to one of the victims, the one who was stabbed by Kalimutu, to talk about him. Another issue that I had when writing this book is not every one of them were willing to come forward to talk about him. Some of them didn't really like the idea of who Bentongkhali is and the things that he brought forward and the issues that came up after that, because they thought that after Bentongkhali, Indians were associated with gangsterism. So they didn't like that kind of being associated with Indians. So I could probably just share with you one incident. One of my uncles came over to my house to pass a wedding invitation card. And then my husband told him that, hey, she just wrote a book, it's about Bentongkhali. And this uncle was so upset because he said, why are you writing about a gangster? Why? Because this is the guy who actually, the reason why a lot of Indians are now being associated with gangsterism. And he left the house, he was very unhappy. So this is there are two sides of people in the society. That one of them, of course, look up to him. Another side just don't want to do anything to do with it.
Yeah, and I see that tension in the writing as well. You know, the way in which you feel the need to report on his life, acknowledging that there are some segments of society that do hero worship him and, you know, associate, like you said, you know, some of the magical qualities that he was, he had an amulet from Thailand that protected him from bullets, or that, you know, that he was very kind to people and very generous, kind of raising him into a kind of Robin Hood figure. Yeah. And, you know, so how did you decide where to find that spot between the acknowledging that there was some segment of society hero worshiping him and the realities that might have not quite matched the mythical status that he has achieved.
Okay, what I did was tell the stories from everyone's perspective. So each one of them has got their own understanding of who this guy is. So let them tell the story from them. I mean, let it come from them, who this person is, because I was not there. And I didn't know what actually was happening. I didn't get to talk to the person. I didn't get to, I mean, to see what actually took place in the 90s. So when it comes from each one of them, the victims, the family members, the police and the media, so let the reader draw up the conclusion of who this person is.
Right. Okay. We're going to take a short break and we're going to be back with more and of Suganthi's really interesting book, The Story of Abentongkali. Suganthi Subramanian is my guest tonight at the show. Stay tuned to Let's Talk.